John Wycliffe was a rebel. He was perhaps the earliest dissident in what became known as the Protestant Reformation. He was a strong opponent of papal authority influencing secular power and an early advocate for translation of the Bible into the common language of the people. Because of this, because John Wycliffe believed that every man should be able to read exactly what the Bible says in his own language, he was martyred on New Year's Eve 1384. He was so hated by the Roman Catholic hierarchy that 44 years after his death, Pope Martin V exhumed Wycliffe's bones and ordered them burned and the ashes cast into a river. Now we're told that, among others, the prestigious Wycliffe Bible translators are producing Bible translations that remove or modify terms like God the Father and Son of God, which some have deemed as offensive to Muslims. Well, that offends me. I'm Eric Barger. Stay tuned as today on Take a Stand Radio, we discuss the growing controversy and examine the great responsibility that each of us have, according to the Word of God, to present the one true gospel to those lost in the religion of Islam.
It's time to Take a Stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Hello, my friends. Greetings. Take a Stand Radio is indeed on the air. This is your host, Eric Barger. I'm here each week at this same time. Thanks for joining me today. All right, my friends, the information you're about to hear was recorded 5 weeks ago, but I held up releasing it until I made sure that I understood the topic and we had all of the information that needed to come out. Next week, we'll have more information and some interviews that deal with this very important and sensitive topic. So here we go into the information right now. It's my task to report on the very troubling issue of allegedly erroneous Bible translations and how it relates to the topic of Islam, and we'll be dealing with that today here on Take a Stand Radio. If you want to get more on this particular topic and all the rest of the topics that I minister on, please visit ericbarger.com. As you're listening to this program, there are several items posted at our website that will help you to really get a handle on the issue that I'm going to bring out today. If anyone thinks that the idea of erroneous translations, especially to the Muslim people, isn't a problem, then you need to think again. There have been several published reports over the last few months raising concern about what I call Muslim-sensitive Bible translations. On January 31, 2012, WorldNet Daily published a written report by prophetic end times teacher Joel Richardson, and it was titled, New Bible Yanks Father, Jesus as Son of God, Islam-Sensitive Project Ignites Controversy, Online Petition. There are between 30 and 40 different versions of the Bible in several languages translated by three different translation groups that are in question that have done damage to the Word of God. I want to read some of the WorldNet Daily article and several other news reports to you, and you'll be able to get a grip on what this is all about. I know how this is going to bother some of you. But at the heart of the controversy is Wycliffe Bible Translators, SIL International, which was formerly known as the Summer Institute of Linguistics, and the translation group Frontiers. So those are the three organizations that seem to be in the middle of this. Included in the controversy is the removal of references such as God as Father and Jesus as Son or Son of God. First, Wycliffe and SIL have produced Stories of the Prophets, an Arabic Bible that uses an Arabic equivalent of Lord instead of Father and uses the word Messiah instead of Son. Secondly, Frontiers and SIL have produced something called Meaning of the Gospel of Christ, an Arabic translation which removes Father in reference to God and replaces it with the word Allah, and removes and refines the word Son, that is S-O-N. I'm going to come back and talk about that issue in just a few minutes. For example, the verse which Christians use to justify going all over the world to make disciples, thus fulfilling the Great Commission, that's Matthew 28, verse 19, reads like this, "Cleanse them by water in the name of Allah, His Messiah, and His Holy Spirit." Now, that doesn't sound at all like baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, a reverend named Bassan Adami, and I hope I got that name right, an Arabic-American who runs Middle East Resources, terms these organizations' efforts as, quote, a Western imperialistic attempt that's inspired by cultural anthropology and not by biblical theology. The third example is Frontiers and SIL, who have produced a new Turkish translation of the Gospel of Matthew that uses Turkish equivalents of guardian for the word father and representative or proxy for the word son. Now, there are approximately 40 different versions that have denigrated and downplayed God the Father and Jesus the Son of God. My friends, this is just simply insulting to God. It's an insult to the church. It's an insult to the intelligence of those in the Arabic world, the Muslim world, but it's insulting to God above all. It's like the translators are saying that they know better how to communicate to Muslims than God does by his own word, and that maybe God didn't see this coming, or that somehow God made a mistake. Now, let me point out this is exactly what emergent leaders contend is going on inside the church. This is what they contend, that, you know, the old ways we've done things really don't cut it anymore, and we've got to change the way we do things. You know, the presentation of the gospel is somehow out of date for our day. They say the outdated Christian message must be updated or it'll never be accepted in the postmodern culture. These erroneous translations are already circulating in several Muslim-majority nations, including Bangladesh, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Even more dramatic a change is the Arabic and Bangla translations. In Arabic, Bible translators err by translating Father as Lord, Guardian, Most High, and God. It doesn't talk about God being a father. In Bangla, Son of God is mistranslated Messiah of God, consistent with what the Quran states about Jesus. These are references to the merely human Jesus. Well, guess who is most upset about this of all? WorldNet Daily reported on January 31st, and this is a quote, in response to these translations, many within the evangelical missions movement, as well as many former Muslim converts and indigenous Christians from countries where these translations are being used, are indignant. After numerous appeals were rejected, a petition was launched to call for the end of these translations. According to a Turkish pastor, his name is Fikret Buchet. I hope I have that right, Fikret Buchet. Such new translations are, quote, an all-American idea with absolutely no respect for the sacredness of Scripture or even to the growing Turkish church. The indigenous believers see introduction of these American-made translations with which they strongly disagree as a form of American cultural imperialism and colonialism. Now get that. This is people who are upset in the Muslim world over us bringing those kind of translations in. According to the testimony of one leader from a church in Bangladesh, one of the most problematic aspects of this development is it gives fuel to the often heard Muslim claim that Christians are liars who change their Bibles to deceive Muslims. There's a blogger named Bill Wilson. He puts out a great blog called The Daily Jot, and he's been mercilessly attacked for reporting on this issue over the last few days. He says the attacks range from, and I'll just give you a few of the things he says that have been sent at him. First of all, him not having standing to write about this issue because he hasn't brought the gospel to millions of people as Wycliffe does. He also says that people are writing saying this is a very complicated issue and without years of experience that he couldn't possibly know what he's talking about. Or, if you haven't lived in a Muslim country for 20 years, you just don't know. Or, that he shouldn't criticize other Christians, or that he is attacking and slandering Wycliffe. And Wilson writes this. He says, I guess these intellectuals do not know the difference between slander, the spoken untruth, and malicious action and libel. I thought that was fairly funny. In reading the rebuttals of some on the internet who have defended Wycliffe and SIL and Frontiers, they seem to think that we, the great unwashed masses, really don't understand the use of the word Allah. Now, this is simply not the case, but this is a smokescreen to divert attention away from what they're doing and onto the critics instead. So they'd love for us to be the problem rather than what they're doing, which is the faulty translations of the precious word of God that we're talking about here today. So when they talk about the word Allah, believe me, I understand that the word in Arabic for God is Allah. They're interchangeable. And Arabic Christians may very well use the word Allah when they're speaking about Jehovah God. But we understand that unless we make a strong delineation and make sure it's defined carefully when we speak to the Arab world, when we speak to the Muslim world, that they won't understand that we're talking about a different God. For Allah is not Jehovah. And this is one of the main stickling points we see across the Christian church today. Allah historically is not Jehovah. Every Muslim cleric knows that. And every Christian worth his or her salt had better understand it. You see, it's not the case that we're the problem, and they want to shine the light on us who are criticizing what is happening at Wycliffe and at SIL and at Frontiers. The concern by translators about the phrase Son of God infers that God physically had sexually impregnated Mary, and they want to change that because they believe Muslims will be offended by that. Well, that could happen in any culture. Any culture who would just pick up a verse in the Bible and read it and see that might think that we're saying somehow that God physically had sex with the Virgin Mary. That is simply not the case. And when sound doctrine is taught, and when the church is given the opportunity to express what the truth of God's word is, then the understanding that God supernaturally impregnated Mary and did not take sexual intercourse to do so. The truth is, Muslims must be brought to an awareness that the Jesus of the Quran is not the Jesus of the Bible, and though the word Allah in Arabic could refer to Jehovah, missionaries to Muslims must define the differences. The specific problem in dealing with those in Islamic backgrounds is that the Quran speaks about a Jesus 97 times. Notice I mentioned a Jesus. It is not talking about the Jesus. The Quran clearly never deifies the Jesus that it speaks of. The Isa, I-S-A, or Jesus of Islam, is the same as the Allah of Islam, a counterfeit, not the real God, a different God. As Paul warns in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it's a different Jesus, a different gospel, and a different spirit. Look out for those who preach different Jesuses. Just because somebody can spell Jesus, just because somebody mentions God, does not mean they're talking about the God or the Jesus or the deity in the Bible. Translations that leave the reader to imagine that somehow the prophet Isa of the Quran is the same as the Jesus Christ, Yeshua, of the Bible are unimaginably destructive no matter who from Christianity or Islam may promote them, because they do not declare the absolute deity of Jesus Christ and the absolute bankruptcy of the Islamic Isa. I wonder how many of those at Wycliffe or Frontiers or SIL who were involved with this understand that according to the Quran, the Isa of Islam will someday return to earth and force every person on earth to convert to Islam. That'd be a great question to ask, because we're not talking about the same deity. But that's what the Quran states, that Isa or Jesus will come back to earth and force every person to convert to Islam. We must define the differences between the real Jesus and the counterfeits of Islam or Mormonism or anything else. I'm tempted to remind you right here about Rick Warren and him invoking the name Jesus and then the bogus term Isa as he prayed at the Obama inauguration in January 2009, but I'll spare you of that. And I've got information on our website, our newsletters and emailers that we did back in 2009 in January of that year. You can go and find it for yourself on our website at ericbarger.com. Folks, this is a very big deal. Forbes magazine talked about the 200 largest U.S. charities. They publish a list of that. And they reported that Wycliffe Bible Translators in the United States is the third most well-funded religious charity in the United States. This is a huge deal, and one we probably never, ever thought we'd have to bring up. Let me reset a little bit. This is Eric Barger. This is Take a Stand Radio. We're here each and every week at the same time. We deal with the cults and the occult and apologetics and discernment from a biblical viewpoint. My website is ericbarger.com, E-R-I-C-B-A-R-G-E-R, ericbarger.com. And you can find out a lot more information about this topic, about Islam, and also about the counterfeit of Chrislam there at our website. So I'm sure you're wondering what the Wycliffe response to all this has been. Well, on February 1st, 2012, the Wycliffe blog, and they have a blog and a website both, the Wycliffe blog said this: Wycliffe is not omitting or removing the familial terms translated in English as Son of God or Father from any scripture translation. Erroneous information and rumors on the internet have recently raised questions concerning this issue. Wycliffe remains committed to the same objectives we have held sacred for 80 years, accurate and clear translation of the scripture. Then it says, and listen carefully, Wycliffe never has and never will be involved in a translation which does not translate these terms. Now, in a blog comment on their blog, I wrote this: enough parsing of words. Wycliffe's own statements of translation standards contradicts your statement here. And I gave them the website address, and I have it on our website. At their website, wycliffe.org, on a page that talks about translation standards, it states this: in particular regard to Bible translations done with Muslim context, we affirm that in the majority of cases, a literal translation of Son of God will be the preferred translation. In certain circumstances, specifically where it has been demonstrated that literal translation of Son of God would communicate wrong meaning, an alternative form with equivalent meaning may be used. Now, wait a second. On their blog, they say they have never changed Son of God, but on their translation standard page on their website, they say that that's an acceptable practice. They can't have it both ways. As I stated, which is it? Which is it going to be? Have they or have they not funded and approved translations that downplay the phrase Son of God? We know at least 12 years ago in the year 2000 that Wycliffe translators were lobbying to drop literal translations of the phrase Son of God. World Magazine reported in May of 2011 that back in 2000, one of Wycliffe's translators named Rick Brown was a proponent of changing the phrase Son of God to Messiah in order to remove the stumbling block to Muslims. This is an exact quote from World Magazine. In the spring 2000 edition of the International Journal of Frontier Missions, Brown alluded to organizations that objected to such translations, and he said, "On the day of judgment, will those who might have heard and believed the gospel stand up to accuse such Christians of hindering their salvation? Only God knows. In other words, if we don't change the way the gospel reads, then we're responsible for the damnation of souls." This is incredible. You know, when you look at what the Bible says itself, it's incredible. And that's really what is at the heart of this issue. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, it says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." The very idea that we're trying to make the Bible palatable to everybody is an impossible job, because our job is simply to lay out what the text states and not try to sanitize it in such a way that we think we're helping God out. He didn't make any mistakes. And in his foreknowledge, he understood that the Word of God itself would be abrasive and itself be a controversial thing. Wycliffe, SIL, and Frontiers are very well-funded organizations, my friends. Wycliffe, the third most funded organization, religious charity in America. They have been trusted by evangelicals for many years. However, all I can deduce is that, frankly, there's a hidden agenda going on here. After all, if emergent philosophy has captured some in our churches, and even entire denominational leaderships as it has, what's to make us think that somehow organizations like Wycliffe Bible Translators, that we once thought we could always trust, haven't been infiltrated as well? You see, folks, the truth is that the encroachment of postmodernism into biblical Christianity is happening on all levels. Just this week, we have watched as Pastor Rick Warren and Saddleback Church have been in the news for making a pact with Southern California Muslim leaders based on the false assertion that they both worship the same deity. You'll want to visit our website at ericbarger.com for updates, and I'll cover that story in next week's program. And that's exactly where I'm going to take our discussion concerning the Bible translation problems and Wycliffe and Frontiers and all that we've talked about today. I realize your hair probably feels like it's blowing back. This is disconcerting. It's troubling, especially if you sunk a lot of time and trust into particular organizations. And, you know, I want to say that I don't want to besmirch any of the honest and trustworthy translators and missionaries that are out there in the field that have worked with Wycliffe or worked with anybody else. And I'm certain it's not every person at Wycliffe who's gone off the deep end on this or has decided that that changing the Word of God is somehow a good idea. But I'm going to explain next week how I think this is happening. I've got some inside information that will help you to understand this, and I realize I'm going to take a lot of hits for talking about this stuff. This is one of those issues that I would be a whole lot better off just leaving alone, but it's one of those things I just can't help but talk about. It's something I've got to talk about. Now, about Islam and Chrislam, we have two DVD teachings. Both of them are seminar-style teachings done live in our conferences or conferences somewhere in the country that will help you to understand both the deception of Chrislam and also the roots of Islam. You'll find those at our website at ericbarger.com or by calling us at 214-289-5244. In the DVDs, there's lots of scriptures, lots of understanding, quotes, and documentation that will help you. They're the kind of thing you might want to show to your church or to a Bible study, to a home group, that kind of thing. And the DVDs, once again, almost an hour in length, each one of them, $16 each plus shipping, and we'd be glad to send those anywhere in the world. Again, call us at 214-289-5244 or, of course, visit our website at ericbarger.com. You know, as I stated earlier, this whole problem with Bible translations and Islam and the changing of words, this has been something that's been bubbling in the Christian media for quite some time. World Magazine wrote on this translation issue last October. It was an article called Holding Translators Accountable. And they talked about, they spotlighted a couple who had applied to become missionaries with Wycliffe, and talked about what they had gone through and how they became disenchanted along the way as they were getting all their papers in order to move halfway around the world, and then why they finally pulled out. And one of the things I learned during that process is, and this is what you've got to do is you connect the dots together, but I learned more about the insiders movement, and many of you know what that is. The insider movement says you can have some sort of experience with Jesus inside of Islam, but you stay in the mosque, you read the Quran, you listen to the imam, you pray the five prayers every day, you follow the five pillars of Islam, but you don't make a public statement about your relationship with Jesus. And the insiders movement has become kind of a, I guess, near and dear in the hearts of some of the translators. And shockingly, what we found out is that there's a book being advocated, actually a book that is required reading for all prospective missionaries and translators who are applying to go to work with Wycliffe. And this particular book is advocating the insiders movement inside of Islam. Now, that ought to really bother you, and next week we'll bring out the truth about this. My deepest fear is that replacement theology is at the core of this whole problem. You see, even in the church today, the movement against Israel is gaining ground, and replacement and dominion theology are beginning to take the place of sound biblical prophecy and prophecy teaching inside the church. That's not going to happen here at Take a Stand Ministries, but it is certainly happening in some quarters of the church, and it ought to bother each and every one of us. Well, as I tell you each week, this ministry is brought to you by Take a Stand Ministries, Rowlett, Texas, is funded by the free will gifts of our friends and our supporters. I'm glad you tuned in today. Please come and join me again next week for the next installment of Take a Stand Radio. Remember, keep taking your stand on the truth of the Word of God. I'll be talking to you again. God bless you.
With nearly three decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exists to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. Please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. 5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week and encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
The book of Nehemiah tells the story of how the people of God joined with a common purpose to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Today, the church is facing the same situation the Israelites faced. Our walls are broken down, and there is much opposition, even from inside the camp. This is Eric Barger, and this is the time to take a stand against false doctrine and cultic beliefs and do battle for the lost. Under Nehemiah's leadership, it only took 52 days to rebuild the wall. Take a Stand Ministries is dedicated to mending the broken condition in today's church 52 weeks a year. I'm looking for 100 partners to give $52 or more every month to meet the needs of Take a Stand Radio. Are you one of those courageous builders willing to help? If so, please contact me today at ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. Together, let's build this wall for the King of Kings and for the sake of lost souls.